Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast. It is finals week 2, 2021. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain and joining me is a man who has been fired as Nadia Bartel's social media manager. It is Adam Rosenbach.
Oh, God, I'm embarrassed, Michael.
Another job lost.
Mate, you know, I bounce back. I think I'm back on my feet and It's been tough. Like, as you would know, we're in lockdown and the football industry has suffered, right? So I obviously work for Nadia and have done for a long time. We're very close. We go to a lot of things together. And we were saddened, Michael, our group, our friendship group was saddened by the fact there was no Brownlow again, you know, for the second year running.
Fair enough.
There's no Birdcage that we're going to get dressed up for again. Mm-hmm. And it was just downer after downer after downer. And I said to Nadia, you know what we need to offset these downers is a couple of grams of uppers. That's what we need, Nadia. And she said, but Rosie, you can't come over, mate. It's locked down. I said, don't worry about it. Who's going to know, right? And so we went over and we were having a little bit of fun. And I said, I've got to send this to the other girls in the group. And this is where I made the mistake. So, and it's a common mistake that I went to send it on WhatsApp and I put it on Instagram. They're very close together though. So you can confuse them quite often.
And so, those apps.
Yeah. And so the rest is history.
So you sacked again, mate. How much were you getting paid for that? Because that would be a pretty busy job, I imagine, for a Nadia Bartel.
It was very busy, but a lot of what I get paid in was on that plate that you saw. So that's all the payment I need to do the job. Because, you know, I love doing it, but, you know, just give me a couple of grams and I'm a happy man.
So am I right that it went up on her Instagram or did it go up on somebody else's Instagram?
No, it went up on the girl that she shares the tanning company with, who I think my understanding is that she wanted to send it to a friend via text through the DM part of Instagram and then accidentally went, oh, that's right, I didn't DM it. I put it out as a story.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Dude. So it's gone really well, you know, and the one thing that people loved, you know what I love is, remember back, we did a really honourable thing. When Phil Hughes passed away, the cricketer, he got hit by the bouncer, he died, and everyone put out their bats, right? And that was a really touching thing for people to do. And now we've taken that touching tribute and we use it to mock people because everyone was putting out their plates. And isn't it lovely, just as Australians, we go, that's a really touching thing. And now, let's use it for comedy.
Well, I feel like we had a put out your onions, I think, when Tony Abbott might have got
Tony
the
Abbott.
Knife.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's been quite a few of the put outs. And you go, it actually came from a nice place.
It was actually really nice. There are photos from all around the world. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And well, we've hijacked that.
Oh, dude. Now, am I right as well that she broke quarantine? Like, she wasn't meant to be...
Yes, yeah, yeah. You're not allowed to have people over to your house in this current climate. And I thought we'd get away with it, but it looks like we're all going to be heavily fined. Because I said to her, look, I went to an engagement party a couple of weeks ago and it was fine. So I said, Nadia, we're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Don't stress.
So also on top of that, I hate to harp on the issue, but if you have a drug dealer come over to your house, is that breaking... Well, that's breaking the law, but are you allowed to have a drug dealer come to the front door?
Well, can I stop you there? Can't you have like contactless drop off like they do with Uber Eats? Like he just texts you.
Yeah, I mean it's just like a delivery, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Like a food delivery.
It's not even a delivery. Like you go out and there's a fucking tennis ball that you didn't ask for on your balcony and you're like, oh, what's in this? And then this white powder falls out and you're like, we'd better sample this on a plate. I'd better get some friends around in case.
And you kinda have to throw like $650 notes just off your balcony. And just someone will catch them.
Just in case.
Just pass by. We'll catch them. Yeah, it's a lucky day.
Yeah, it's like for like, you know. You win some, you lose some.
Oh, dude. Okay. Let's chill. Our grand final show, Adam. A grand final show with the guys from Two Guys, One Cup, Will and Charlie, going to be happening the day after the grand final, which I think is the 26th, I think it might be.
That is correct.
There we go. 4 o'clock, get your tickets at trybooking.com. Just type in Junk Time or Two Guys, One Cup, the numbers, not the letters, not the words. It's going to be, and we're going to have special guests, you know, supporters of the two teams that are going to make it. Who is going to make it, Adam? Who is going
to
make it?
So we're down. We're down to the final four. So obviously we've got Geelong and Melbourne now playing what should be, you know, in their final round game was an absolute cracker where Geelong were, what, 7 goals up and then Melbourne came back and won after the siren. So it's weird with Geelong, isn't it? You just can't get a fucking read on this team. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a supporter.
Well, they're probably pretty happy. They're not Carlton supporters.
Well, no, everyone's happy they're not a Carlton supporter. So you can't even bring that up. That's just ridiculous. But, you know, they were so poor the week before. And then they were solid against the Giants without being, you know, brilliant because the Giants had a lot of outs. But you just go into it, if you're a Geelong supporter, this is Melbourne's to lose. Oh, boy.
And then Port and the Doggies. You kind of figure...
How good was last night's semi-final?
Well, you kind of figure these are the prelims we were most likely going to get all year, weren't we? These are the top four teams.
Because Brisbane just got into the top four at the expense of Brisbane, and then, you know, it was a fucking cracking game.
Yeah, dude, last night. Yeah, it was amazing. Were you hoping for extra time? That's what I was
absolutely
hoping for.
Yeah. Because we haven't seen it, like, since... Is it 94? Is that the only time we've had time?
94 Hawthorn North, and then we had Pies and Eagles in 07.
Oh, no. And then wasn't there another one with Port Adelaide where Luke Shuey kicked a goal?
And that was actually a final, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so that's right, because extra time only happens in finals.
Yeah. it was... Oh, fuck, what a great game. It was just... It was awesome. I loved it. And how good is it just seeing it with a massive crowd? It was fucking great.
Yeah. Have you seen footage of college games?
Over the weekend?
Yeah.
It's going crazy.
It looks
there.
Amazing. Yeah, 70,000 people, and they bring back all the traditions and all the jumping up and down and stuff like that. It's quite incredible. Now,
I always get concerned because there was one I watched, I think it might have been Wisconsin, where they played jump around before the House of Pain one. And I'm always concerned when you're in a grandstand and there's, you know, 80,000 people just jumping. I'm always, that's good structural engineering. I'm always impressed.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you see the same thing like in, you know, South American football. And they're like, they're just going absolutely crazy. And you go, I hope they went the extra distance in pain for that stadium.
Yes,
they're not mixing the cement with sand.
So it's great that we've got the prelims next week. And now we've got the announcement that the grand final is going to be in WA. Are you excited about that, Michael? Has Mark McGowan given you enough confidence that it's going to happen?
I think it'd be really cool. And also kind of, it's a great stadium kind of, it looks a great stadium. And then come night time when it can get lit up and all that kind of stuff, I'm actually looking forward to it. Are we having
any... What are your thoughts, though, on the protocols that saw Zach Sproul, who dislocated his shoulder at the end or during the game on Friday night, and he couldn't go to hospital for an hour because they had to clear him through COVID protocols?
No way.
Yeah, so he was on the green whistle. Love the green whistle. If you can get your hands on one, kids, get on it.
I think Nadia Bartel has one.
And basically he couldn't leave the ground because they were like, well, we don't know what's supposed to happen because, you know, these are dirty clubs and no one from the club could go with him, which they normally do. Luckily, it was just a dislocated shoulder and, you know, his, like, head hadn't come off.
Yeah,
in
sure.
Which case, you don't want to be, if your head's come off, you don't want to be stuck at the ground for an hour.
Now, we're recording about midday on Sunday the 5th. Have we heard anything about Bond?
No, there's been no... I was reading, Luke Beveridge said that they won't be able to get his scans done until they either get back to Tassie or go to Perth. So they're on the move straight away, the Doggies. So he's probably just up in the air in pain at the moment, just going, this can't be good.
Because there was talk in the coverage, it was a PCL, which is not as bad as an ACL, but...
It's not, but it's also not playing this week if it is a PCL.
Yeah.
And then you've got Cody Waitman, who's got to miss because of concussion protocol. So it's going to be a few changes there, a few big changes too.
Yeah. Who do you reckon comes out? Tips? Geelong, Melbourne, Port, Dogs?
I think we're getting a Melbourne Port Adelaide grand final.
Yeah, I think you might be right. No, don't think, mate.
I just said it, and therefore it's fact.
There's one very special person who will not be at the grand final, Adam. Were you sad to hear the news about this
Collingwood supporter?
Very keen Collingwood supporter.
Why does he want to go? He doesn't have a membership. Why does he want to go? His team's not even in the grand final. He should just be. He should be excited about the team that he barracks for. Announced a new coach this week. And the team that he barracks for, their president is stepping down in a year and a half. So there's stability all around his team. Why the fuck does he want to go to Perth?
Well, I think everyone else has kind of got in, except for him. Now, he didn't give an actual kind of reason.
So this is Eddie McGuire we're talking about, in case you haven't picked up our cryptic
term. Yeah. But every other journo seems to have got in, but he hasn't. Now, there seems to be some speculation that he was trying to get his sons in as well.
Yeah, so basically what had happened was, I don't think he's a part of the Fox overall coverage. So he wasn't on that list. He's not on an AFL list. And so he had to get himself over there somehow if he wanted to be a part of the grand final. And so the way he's done it is he's put together this great package of entertainment ideas for Perth. Like, he was going to film Millionaire Hot Seat in Perth. Now, can you imagine how fucking crazy WA... like, to get Millionaire Hot Seat and the grand final, I mean, I reckon they can handle that.
I think you'd air Hot Seat for like do like five episodes on a Saturday, instead of the grand final. Like, I think
instead of your grand final entertainment, you've got a pre-match Millionaire Hot Seat on the ground. How fucking good's that?
Do the grand final parade, but it's Eddie walking up to cars, asking questions to win money for the players. Like, it's. But he talked about, he wanted to do a hot seat. He wanted to do classified. He said he wanted to do a grand final show like the old days.
Oh, yeah.
Has anyone told him that it's not on anymore?
Yeah. And he said that he was going to go over, and this is the phrase that I love. He was going to go over there as a part of all the packaging. He was going to work for Tourism WA. He was going to bring Hot Seat over. And he was just there, as he put it, to bring the fizz.
Oh, bring the fizz.
He brings the fizz, and he was saying this will be the first time in 45 years I haven't been to a grand final, and he was basically saying that it needs him. Because if you remember, right, so he's been there since 76. In 75, when North Melbourne won the grand final, that was the most fizzless grand final on record.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Eddie came in 76 that the VFL then just went, something's changed.
It's what my dad was saying during the week.
Yeah.
Because he's been to all the grand finals since about 1940, I think. 1950, I think. And apart from last year, obviously. And he said there was a distinct change to the crowd come 76. Yeah. Where he said he just walked in and he was like, this feels different. This feels better. Yeah. It feels fizzier.
And now... no fucking... because remember, Eddie, last year he went to the Gabba as well. And remember, if you can cast your mind back to last year... there was that photo of Eddie at the Pink Flamingo with two drunken patrons, and he got his photo done, and everyone was like, if you go into Brisbane, it's not there. You're not there for a fucking party. And he was at the Pink Flamingo on the Gold Coast, and Eddie said that he was just doing reconnaissance to see what venues were like in the local area in case they wanted to, you know, post-game parties sort of thing.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
The kind of... to the nth degree this guy goes, Michael.
Fuck, man. He's... fizzier than ever.
Like, if he got into Perth, he would have been willing to go to the Little Creatures Brewery just to see what it was going to be like, if it was fizzy enough for patrons to go there and watch the grand final on grand final day.
Dude, he would have headed into the Metro nightclub for certain. And the place would have picked up the energy. Even the bikies, they would have started firing guns in the air, going, the fizz is here.
Yeah.
That should be his nickname, the fizz.
Yeah, I think at the Metro nightclub, the fizz is already there.
they're putting out their plates there, I imagine.
Yes, definitely. But he also, and what I love, it came out in the article that he since denied, but he put his kids were listed initially as well, because he said they're producers at a media production company. Now, I just wonder, they didn't name the media production company, but I wonder, just humour me, could it be, and I'm probably wrong, but could it be the production company that Eddie McGuire owns? do you reckon? Like, I'm being crazy, aren't I? He wouldn't do that.
No. He'd be all above board, mate.
Absolutely. I mean, I went to the website of JMTV that he runs, and his dog is CEO, and that's going to the grand final as well. So it's a great family business.
I actually met one of Eddie's kids a few years ago, did a bit of work with him, and I was actually heartened at what a good bloke he was.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, oh, that's a sign of someone, that they've raised a good parent. I mean, they've raised a good child. I don't know where your mum and dad went wrong. But I was like, I was kind of like, oh, you're not a douche, you're a good bloke. He was just kind of shy, kind of, you know, first year uni student, kind of just very nice, yeah.
I guess you would probably keep your head down just because your dad's fucking, you know, bananas.
Imagine if your dad's bananas. That'd be fucking weird, wouldn't it? Just going, geez, dad's a bit different. Dad's a bit fizzier than other dads.
Yeah, he is a little fizzy. John Elliott's son, Tom, is on 3AW, but there must have been times when he was a, you know, young fella just going, oh, fucking hell, Dad, do you need to say that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Jeff Kennett's kids, they must. Like Angus, he was a model for a little while, and he's slunk into the background.
I did a play with Jeff Kennett's kid years and years ago. Mm. Can't remember his name now.
Angus, wasn't it?
No, there's a couple of them, I think.
Oh, right.
But, I did a play with him. Actually, Jeff came to the play.
What play was it?
I actually can't remember. It was like...
Les Mis?
No, it was like a friend kind of brought me into it. It was like a kind of... just a short 20, 30 minute play.
When were you a thespian? I didn't know this. You had this string on your bow.
I mean, I've acted...
And why wasn't I there?
No, I don't think I knew. Question. I don't think I knew you. I don't think I'd started comedy by then. Some would say I haven't. Still haven't. But yeah, it was with a Kennett kid, and Jeff did come. I remember that.
Yeah.
And then he fired the director.
He had a succession plan in line for the director. Hey, now I need to pull you up on something. We spoke last week about the Toby Green Cash Converters ad, and you acted as though it was a revelation that I had done such things. And you know, in the back of your head, when you're like, fuck, I thought we'd talked about this, and I thought maybe we'd spoken about it off air and had decided, oh, but probably not for air. But I had spoken about the fact that I wrote the Christian Petrarca Cash Converters ad as well, and you had just chosen to ignore what I had said.
I have a vague memory of someone. We did get a tweet during the week from someone saying, surely we talked about it. I have a vague memory of talking about someone seeing Petrarca filming the ad in a football in real life, but I have no memory.
Yeah, and we talked about it then. Yeah,
I have no memory.
It just seems
of
to me that
saying,
you don't care about things that I say. I'm just starting to pick up that vibe after 6 years now.
Well, I mean, are you really dropping down the Cash Converters ad as like a, you know, this is something we really need to talk about? And, are you putting that on your IMDb that you wrote the Cash Converters ad?
I don't add to my IMDb, but if anyone wants to start up a Wikipedia page for me as the Cash Converters, copywriter.
Do you have a Wikipedia page?
You know what? I actually clicked through to it recently because I was listed, I think I went down a wormhole of Footy Show stuff, and no, I don't.
Yeah, okay.
Is the short answer. Do you?
I do. I don't know who made it up, though. I've had one for years and years and years, but I don't know who put it up there.
I was fascinated by that because my IMD page is fairly up to date and I don't do that, so I've got no idea who updates that.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, that's a really good question. But I had a friend a few years ago, a long time, about 8 years ago, and she got a Wikipedia page and she was quite happy about it. She was a bit kind of too excited, like kind of almost like, I'm now legit. I was like,
I've made it.
Really?
It's like the blue tick on Twitter.
But you had to kind of jump through a few hoops to kind of prove who you were. So she kind of wrote her own. And I was like, I had no idea that you had to be kind of official, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, someone just came up with mine or just put it up. And I haven't looked at it. But I do remember Clawson and I, two guys, one cup, Charlie Clawson, we both graffitied each other's page one night. And it was this exact same kind of joke. It was about... Right. It was like almost like a two girls, one cup reference.
Yeah, right.
We're ahead of our time.
You were ahead of your time. Hey, the other ad that I want to talk about that I've seen a lot over the footy coverage is, and it's a great ad. It's the I think it's for Google, and it's the young African girl who's taking up footy.
Where are you going with this one?
No. It's actually a really nice ad.
So it is. It's a really nice ad.
Obviously, they don't know much about footy, and the dad Googles stuff, you know. Because he's like, how do you handball? Where do I get a footy from? And the young girl learns, and then she kicks a goal. And someone says to the dad at one point, your daughter's playing a blinder. And he says to Google, hey, Google, what's a blinder? That kind of thing. And I think it's a really lovely ad. And I wish that kind of ad existed for like when I was a young boy, like just my dad going to, hey, Google, what is a soft cock? You know? Hey, Google, what is a lurker?
What's a receiver?
Also, though, and this doesn't make me happy about it, it's a lovely ad. She kicks a goal, but it's a fucking Joe the Goose. Like, at least have her taking a pack mark, you know, in the goal square. She gets a handball over the top. I mean, fucking hell. Come on, Google.
That is one thing I did notice in the ad, in that they could have made it that she was, you know, 35 out on an angle. But she she's in the square, surely. Mate, to kick that goal.
It's an easy goal.
If that's going to be
a career, I don't think she's got a lot of footy ahead of her. But having said that, it's a lovely...
She could have been walking back with her dad afterwards. Then he'd be like, you know, he played well, had a blinder.
Yeah.
But come on, mate. Yeah. Yeah, taking a what Joe is the it? Goose.
What is a Joe the Goose? It's all happening down at Carlton. We're still on the hunt for a football coach.
On
the hunt for a football club. Yeah. So now Ross Lyon has pulled out because he doesn't want to jump through hoops.
So they got rid of Teague. Was that last week or this week? That was last week.
Last week, yep.
Okay. Clarko doesn't want to do it because he didn't like the way they treated Teague, but Carlton still think they're in a chance to get Clarko.
See, the thing is, right, what I reckon's happened, and obviously, that has played out, Clarko reckons he'll coach again in 2023. Now, this is where if Carlton had played it smart, they keep Teague for another year.
Yep.
And perfectly go into transition where Clarko's had his year off and he's keen to come back. And now, what we essentially need is a half-decent coach to coach us for a year to get us to eighth, lose a final, then get Clarko.
Are there any other candidates been talked about?
So surprisingly, I've heard Chris Scott's name mentioned.
Yeah, okay. Caro's been talking about Chris Scott a lot, maybe going to other clubs. Yeah. And it's like,
Because Carlton they've painted themselves into a corner because they said we want an experienced coach this time.
Yeah.
And yet two of them are out of the running. One's pulled himself out of the running because Ross Lyon basically had the job, and then Carlton came out and said, oh, we've got a selection committee and we're going to take 30 to 45 days. And he was like, oh, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Because you know what? Apparently he really likes doing what he's doing, and that's being a real estate agent at the moment. He mentions that occasionally when he's on Classified.
And then Chris Scott. Okay. Vossi, Mark Williams.
Vossi's name has been mentioned, but I know for a fact they haven't spoken to him. Brad Scott is another one.
I think Leppers' stocks have gone up fantastically this year with his work in the media.
Yeah, but I also think that he's going to be alongside Craig McRae at Collingwood, who is, of course, their new coach.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, but didn't Leppers also get out of Richmond because he wanted to focus on business? So maybe it's not, you know, a full-time job. Maybe it could just be like a mentor kind of role.
Yeah, so we have painted ourselves into a corner by saying we want an experienced coach, but that kind of, if Brad Scott says no, and then it's sort of Vossi, Leper, you know, guys who didn't have great success in their first iteration, Mark Neal, you know, all the greats.
Peter Rode.
Where do they go to? Like an Adam Kingsley is obviously next cab off the rank, but we've kind of just said, hey, we don't want that. So do you go a young coach with an experienced sidekick, kind of like, you know, or do you have like a Paul Ruse into a fucking succession plan instantly, you know?
Yeah, sure. It sounds like you're completely fucked and it's awesome. You've cocked this up entirely, Carlton.
Couldn't have been done worse.
Dude.
Could not. You know what? If you had a said, if the review came out and said, make your transition to the new coach as fucked as you can.
Yep.
They would be so proud of what Carlton are doing right now.
Now, Craig McRae got the job at Collingwood, so we didn't hear a great deal about other people who applied or approached. I think they ended up having a list of about 70 or so people that they wanted to talk to.
Yes, that kind of whittled down. I think Kingsley was kind of down to it. Is it Jamie Graham at West Coast is also one who's touted as being kind of a coach in waiting sort of thing?
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Don't know much about Craig McRae apart from, obviously, three flags with the Bears. And another Hawthorn coach taken. I think we're up to about seven now.
Yeah, no, there's
who
quite
are
a
they?
Few
Let me write them down.
He also, let's not. He also worked at the Melbourne Storm for a year as their kicking coach.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, they do cross over.
So what do you reckon
there.
He brings? What do you reckon he brings from that? Like, I know that because Billy Slater was at St Kilda for a little bit, but what do you reckon? Like, tactical-wise, you go, we're not using him for anything like that. So you just go, is it about culture? Obviously, he was the kicking coach, but there's only like three blokes who kick on a rugby team, isn't there? Two blokes?
Dude, you can do worse than hanging out with the Melbourne Storm just to learn from them. Like, you look at their record, I think it's 22 years and they've missed the finals once. They're going to finish on top, or they have finished on top again. They could very much make the argument for being one of the best franchises in the world.
Yeah, that would be up there. And maybe, there you go, should Carlton look at getting Craig Bellamy in as coach?
I think that would be one of the foolish things you could possibly do. So I'm all for it. Actually, I wonder if Bellamy could coach an AFL team. I wonder if the skills cross over in terms of, you know, tactics or, you know, how to
You'd want to have really good assistants who know the game, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, there's this American coach. He's a US American football coach, and he's coaching a English football team.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a moustache.
Hey, is that right?
It's a very funny. Guy.
Is there a doco about him?
Yeah. There's a doco on Apple about him.
Okay.
I think they've done two series.
Okay. Is his name Edward?
Yeah.
Edward Lasso?
I haven't watched it, so I don't do any spoilers. I got to watch it.
Yeah, okay.
Have you got an Apple account? Can I have it? Can I have your login?
Absolutely, you can.
Hey, some footballers in real life, man.
Oh, yeah, but before we get to the footballers in real life, let us take down what I would have said were friends of the show, but clearly no longer. The Andy and Bob show on SEN have fucking just absolutely stolen one of the Junk Time staples.
So they have footballers in, how would you put it?
Well, it says here, Bob's tweet, he says, Fridays are all about footballers doing dull things. Now, if that's not footballers in real life, seriously, Murphy, you're gone down the wrong path here. You don't want to start trouble with Junk Time.
I tell you what, I was listening to their show the other day. They called every caller a low dog cunt. And I was like, hey, that's ours. That is ours.
Get your own. And you know how hard that is to do on live radio when you're going into delay constantly? Like when there's a dump button and going, oh, that didn't go to air. Well, we'll do it again. You're a low dog. It went again.
It feels like every day Bob comes on and talks about how he's lost another job. And I go like, mate, that is our shtick. That is our shtick.
Yeah. Fucking, if they say Gatorade Bukkake, I am going to tear down those fucking studios and everyone in it. So, Junk Timers, if you don't mind, if you ever see them posting about it, let them know that they are not the originators of such an idea. It would be fucking fun to get in their kitchen. They also did a debate about salt and chicken salt.
Did they?
I mean, for fuck's sake, get your own ideas, Andy and Bob.
From Janice. A couple of weekends ago, whilst taking my lockdown exercise around my suburb, which will remain nameless for fear of being publicly shamed as bougie, I came upon the rare sight of a family playing in the street circa 1960s. There on the quiet street was a chalk-drawn four-square court, or is it down ball? Not too sure. And playing was dad, in brackets, with a dad bod, a trendy influencer girlfriend, and young offspring. The dad bod belonged to Daisy Thomas. How refreshing to see old school games get another look in. Would have made my day if I can only just hear car.
Love it. You know what? I grew up in a dead end street, so we could play cricket for fucking hours without having to move the stumps.
It actually made me think about where I would have played. We had a park not too far, so my brother and I would go up and have a kick up there. It's just a small park. But we wouldn't have played on the main road. There was a back street where, yeah, maybe we did have a kick, or, but I think we're more of yard cricketers.
We had about 10 meter patch. I remember once hitting a, hook shot into the, because I was left-handed, it always ended up in the house a few doors down, and the grumpy old prick who lived there, he said, you can have your ball back if you stop playing. So I just went and got another ball. And then he didn't like that, and he went down and told Mum about it.
How are you a left-handed cricketer?
No idea. I'm right-handed with everything else.
Yeah. Play golf, right?
Anyway. No, left-handed. Left-handed.
Yeah, well. I'm a bit like you, though, because I bat right-handed. And I'm lefty.
And you're left-handed, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's...
What about when you... This is interesting. What about when you snowboard? Because you're a cool dude.
I snowboard a lot. Yeah, you probably can tell from from my hoodie. But I feel like I bat right-handed by the fact that... I think the story goes that my brother told me to bat properly. I went bat left-handed.
Oh, okay.
He was like, bat properly. Well, and right. So I just kind of learnt to bat right-handed. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I hate the game of field hockey, because all the sticks are right-handed. I couldn't fucking play it.
Yeah, no, you missed out on an Olympic career.
Yeah, I know.
From Kelly, on my walk, and spotted Dyson Hebbel at Dank Street, Albert Park.
Stay away from there.
What, getting a jab?
Yeah.
With dogs and two other guys looking fresh. On a lazy Tuesday, post-finals loss. Nah. Unmasked drinking his latte and some foam caught in his stubble.
That's the kind of detail we want.
Dank Street. Fucking hell. That's a blast of the past, hey, Danky. What's he up to now, if you reckon? What's he up to? Like, how does someone like him, like, fill his day? You know, you think
you
about
know
people
what?
Like that.
I reckon there's enough people out there.
Good point, yeah.
Who go, hey, mate, I need a certain thing for a certain thing. And he goes, done. Prescription pad. Sure. Here you go.
Yeah.
Take care of your champ. You got it. Do you reckon it would be tough there? Because Kelly said that obviously there's no home base Mad Monday in her letter to him. It would be disappointing as a player that you don't get to kind of have that moment, that you don't get that day where you just like, let's bond as a team that, you know, the season ended and, you know, because it is, it's a rite of passage, you know. Sure, of them get a little bit too far. You might strap on a dildo, whatever it is.
I think about
But it is a moment that you need to do.
I think about the costume shops. They've already had a tough 2 years.
That's
and they're
going
to miss out on all that footballer business.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got Luigi and Mario that can only fit a 6'4" man. Who else is going to be wearing that?
They've got Borat Mankinis that haven't been worn in years.
That's fucking
Austin Powers costumes. Yeah. They've got so many. Put out your fake teeth.
Put out your Mankinis.
From Guy. I was at my part-time job pumping petrol on Scarborough Beach Road when West Coast and Collingwood played the Geelong Grand Final at Waverley. That was 31 years ago, and I've come a long way since then, graduating from high school and living the life of a wage slave ever since, successfully avoiding the good many opportunities that have come in my way in order to bounce from one dead-end job to another. Cry for help.
Thanks, Guy.
Enough about me, though. Let's go back to that day 31 years ago. Wow, retro football in real life. Finally, shortly after the final siren, when promising young Eagles fringe player Tony Begovic, don't remember Tony, drove into the servo. He got out of his car, probably with the intention of pumping the petrol himself, as it was already a rarity in 1990 to have someone serving at the Bowser. I reassured him that rather than a local scallywag, I was a legit Bowser boy and that I would be happy to serve him. If memory serves correct, he asked me to fill up the tank.
You know, I used to do that. I was a Bowser boy for a bit.
Were you really?
Yeah, there was a servo around the corner from me, and I just did it for some pocket money. It was fun.
It's kind of funny how that
died out.
Just doesn't happen anymore. I mean, I remember, you know, mum and dad pulling in and someone coming out and filling up the tank.
Yeah, one of my memories of that is the guy coming out. He came out of the mechanic shop, so it wasn't like... Because remember, they were always attached to a mechanic back then as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy came wandering out, and he filled up the car next to us, but he still had a dart in his mouth while he was filling up.
After confirming that he was indeed who I thought he was, we had a quick chat about the result. Although, to be honest, I think I chatted with every customer that day about the result. He was playing for Claremont against Swan Districts the next day, so I wished him the best for the game, telling him that I liked his style of play. Tough, not dirty, defender who could always be creative. And that I hoped he would make the Eagles team the following week. I finished filling up his tank, carefully put the cap back on, as I was meticulous about that, and warmly sent him on his way. He actually did play for the Eagles a couple of weeks later in their first finals win and managed to get in their prelim loss against Essendon. Unfortunately, his burgeoning West Coast career sputtered out the next year due to injury, and he was traded to Sydney after that, where injury hit again after only five games.
Tony Begovic. Well, there you go. Top that, fucking Bob and Andy. You get a story from 31 years ago. I bet you fucking don't.
Let me just look up Tony Begovic in
AFL. Thank you for that, guy. It's one of those names, though. Like Begovic, you'd think he would remember if he, you know, had kind of flooded across our radar.
So he ended up playing 14 games. So 9 for the Eagles in 1990 and then 5 for the Swans in 93. So he did have a big patch of injury or played in the waffle.
We wish you well, Tony.
Two goals and AFL tables. It also mentions that he got served by Guy at a service station in 1990. Where did he play? Played that. He played the semi-final, he played the prelim, 1990. So anyway, had a good go.
Hey, Junk Times, don't forget with the grand final live show on Sunday, the 26th of September. Go to trybooking.com to get your tickets.
We're going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Alpha, Butter, Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go.
Be careful on the Gram. Be careful on the Gram.
Every match.
We're the high flying bombers from Windy Hill. We're the toughest, we're the team we're gonna kill.
Listen up, guys, cause Richmond's here, and we're the only team that you should fear.
The black and gold ain't where it's at. The Blues are the team that'll knock them all flat.
Stop your boasting, the Saints have arrived. You'll all be sorry when we make the five.
Y'all may be tough, but have no fear. It's Collingwood's turn for the flag this year.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.